our subject today, it's not an unfamiliar subject. We're not visiting an unfamiliar place of Scripture. It's very familiar to you as a student of the Word when a presenter begins to talk about Noah and the flood. That is familiar territory. And I know I probably have spoken on this topic at least 100 times. I have the notes where in evangelistic series I would preach on the last night on earth. And even before me, other pastors and evangelists would use that idea as a springboard. A springboard to move attention from the story of the flood into the raindrops falling and the dark clouds coming in, and the last opportunity that people had to get on the ark taking place. And it makes a fantastic story. It has an appeal in it that we don't find in a lot of other places of Scripture. And I want to be bold enough, but at the same time, I want to be using a spirit of discernment. I know that as we choose to follow Christ, there's also other choices along the way that we have to make. As we choose Christ, we're also choosing against Satan. It's two choices wrapped up together into one. And all this at the same time comes under the great theology of that eternal justice of God Almighty. Just hear me out a little bit here this morning. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. And God said to Noah, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall in this conversation? What else did they discuss that day? God says to Noah, and some of you may beat me up a little bit afterward. It does not say God in the flesh spoke to Noah. It doesn't say he came in a vision. It doesn't say God came in a dream. I know in my own experience, sometimes God just speaks to me by a thought. At least I believe it's the Holy Spirit. But does it really matter how he got the message? It came from the Lord. He identified it as coming from God. And it was so strong and powerful, he was willing to put everything he had in a stewardship plan in total sacrifice for the cause of God. God says to Noah, he says in verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me. If you want something to study this afternoon, you go home and study that concept right there. The very people that God has created, humanity that God has put himself, the very best of creation toward, has brought so much disappointment to the Creator. He says, the explanation is this. The earth is filled with violence. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Twofold thing here. God's going to have to destroy humanity along with the beautiful earth that he's created. And the next couple of verses describe the building of the ark. Verse 17. God says, behold, I myself, Noah, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth. I want to clean up this place. I want to stop the violence. I want to do something to establish it back in a similar way that it was previously. Maybe Noah had his chin resting on his hands. You know, sometimes we talk about John the Revelator sitting on the island of Patmos, Bruce, and he's on those jagged rocks and he's looking out across the water, and the message comes of revelation to him. Maybe Noah was in that setting, deep thought and serious contemplation. God says, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy humanity. Verse 18. Here's one of those buts again. But I will establish my covenant with you. Now, I remember not too long ago, it may have been a year, it may have been 2 years or three. Isn't time passing quickly? But I remember some time ago, I took this text right here, and we spent considerable time talking about the covenant that God had established with Noah. Now, in order for God to establish that covenant, Noah had to say yes. You know, a covenant needs to go both ways. It's an agreement. It's a contract. It's a pledge. God says, Noah, I have chosen you. All the rest of the earth is so filled with violence. No one seems to have much time for me. But you and I have a good friendship going. I want to do something for you. I want to bless your family. I want to bless your children. And he gives him a promise right here that if he will do what he asks, he will save Noah's children. Now, you and I have a very similar promise. But probably at times we wonder how God's going to make it happen, because all of our children have free will and free choice, don't they? We quote the verse here in Isaiah. God says, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Noah must have been thinking through all of this in this deep conversation with God. Verse 18, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. If we wanted to, we could just stop right there and say, and they lived happily ever after. If you believe in a universal flood, as I hope you do, Noah preached for about 120 years. And then one day, it happened. In God's order of things, the animals went on the ark. Noah and his sons went on the ark. An angel closed the door of the ark. It's a great story. Read it this afternoon. Your heart will be blessed with a living word. Even though you've read it many times, it will speak to you again. God's creation that he wanted to save on board the ark. And just as he said, the rain came. And the waters begin to rise. And here's where this context of the last night on earth comes in. For those people outside the ark, knocking on the door. Can't you just see that? Noah, we're sorry we laughed at you and made fun of you. We are sorry that we bullied your grown kids. You know their names, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Aren't those terrible names to put on kids? Anyway, it's an awesome time for humanity. The Holy Spirit has been doing the only work the Holy Spirit could have done at that time And that's bring continuing conviction to Noah and his wife and Noah's family. I just don't believe that Noah had to go beg them to get on the ark. I don't believe they got on the ark unwillingly. I like to think that the son said, "Daddy, we're with you. We don't understand it all, but for these 120 years, we've seen how you live. We know that you are a friend of this God." Maybe they had their own relationship. They are just not included as main developed characters in the story. Now, they are inside the ark of safety. Only the power of God will float that ark anyway. It's not its construction that makes it seaworthy. And the people that come and knock on the door that have heard Noah's message, but they refused and pushed him away and pushed him away. But now, when it's too late, they knock on the door, "Please let us in. Please let us in. We were wrong. We apologize for everything we've said." It wasn't Noah's decision to open the door of the ark. He has seen family members die who believed in his project of the ark. Methuselah and his sons. And others. What about those who are knocking on the door? They want to get in, but the time has come when God has sealed the door. What an awful thing for those people and their children and their grandchildren. You know, we live in such a world, it is true that each of our decisions is like a domino on other decisions. And also people's lives. Noah and his family were safely inside the ark. And the other people are trying to get in. Years ago, I used to have some great large charts. And Bruce, sometimes I wish I could go back to those big charts. I just hate passwords. That's all I want to say about that. If I could connect them with the mark of the beast, I would, but I can't. But in our theology, we see historical times of great importance. And in designating years of historical importance, in our theology, as Daniel and Revelation come together teaching the same thing, we see times of great spiritual reformation. We're echoing one right now with Martin Luther. But we designate certain times that we look back on as when great themes of spiritual richness came to the development of Christian theology. And we acknowledge that and give credit for that. At the same time, we witness a Bible prophecy being fulfilled by religion and politics courting themselves. Hey, did any of you receive any emails or Facebook posts recently about the Sunday law being passed this month? Just as a word of caution, I don't know all about what's happening behind the scenes, but we need to be cautious about what we promote as the truth, okay? Check it out a little bit. But in our theology, we see times of historical importance because of what has happened. We see times of spiritual reformation. We see times when politics and religion seem to be coming together. And as our understanding is supported by deep study of Scripture, nothing of Scripture is changing because our world is changing. Now listen at me closely right here. The interpretation of Scripture that teaches a rise in certain world powers and alliances is going to take place regardless of our interpretation. Are you with me right here? And it's escalating. However you interpret some details in the story, it is true that our world is evolving not more and more like him, but more and more like Satan. The earth is getting more and more filled with violence. We have a greater need for some spokesperson to rise up and say, let's turn the world back to God. Let's turn America back to God. Let's establish the basic fundamental principles that built this nation the way it is. We know the danger of that is that laws will be made not in our favor. You with me now? That's what Esther probably spoke on last week, and I asked her today, how did your sermon go last week? And she said, I think it went well. And I want to listen to it. You know, by the way, we have a wonderful resource here in our church on the internet. Just go back in the archive. You can pick up all the sermons. Anyway, we are closer to eternity than we have ever been. Whatever changes in specifics that God declares can change in prophetic interpretation, in my heart, I'm saying, God, however you want it to work out, that's fine with me. Will you please, Lord, speed up the process? Come quickly. Now, it's interesting. We have that old verse. We have used it so often about the days of Noah. Turn with me over here to the book of Matthew. And I want Matthew chapter 24. I want Matthew 24 and verse 37. Speaking of Christ coming and the end of time. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's in verse 37. Now, it's okay to use Scripture in more than one way. What I used to do with the screens, I would put on the screens, you know, all the different signs of Christ coming. There's about 19 out of 20 or 22, however you define it, mentioned in Scripture that are supposed to happen before Jesus comes. All of those, but about two or three, are already fulfilled today. So in my preaching, I would use that to grab the mind so that I could talk about the beautiful assurance of Christ coming. And not until recent years did I see there's a whole other part of the story. And that's what really gets me excited. I was reading early this morning and Donna came into where I was at and she looked at my Bible and I'll just have to tell you, I have my Bible on my phone and commentaries and I was going over my notes for the sermon and I just jumped up and I threw up my hands and she jumped back and I said, I've been reminded of what I've presented before, but it's got a new meaning to me. Well, she grew up in a pastor's home. She'd been preached at a lot. Well, what is it? I said, the emphasis here with Noah, it's not on the size of the ark. It's not on the gopher wood or the pitch on the outside or how did all the animals breathe. You know what I heard in a seminar once? This shows you how far the human mind can go in the gutter. Someone brought up the question, well, what happened to all of the... See, how can I say this in church? Oh, I got it. What happened to all of the animal sewage? That's a good question against the ark, right? No, not really. The emphasis is not on that. It's not on the number of stalls and how many animals went on the ark and all of that. The emphasis is upon the mercy of God Almighty that for 120 years begged fathers and mothers and children and physicians and scientists and philosophers and preachers and teachers and mechanics and bricklayers and carpet salesmen and all kind of people. The Holy Spirit pleading and giving a message. Will you turn and consider that there is a Creator God and He loves you enough He wants to remove you from all of this violence and crime and bad stuff that's taking place on the earth? Will you do it? That's where the emphasis in this whole story of Noah and the flood, that's where it needs to be. The last night on earth. Yes, it was coming to those people. It's just like it's coming to us here. What if tonight were that classic night just before Jesus comes? I have read where Jesus is coming at midnight. I just want Him to come. In the morning or the evening, you know, someplace on earth it's going to be midnight. I've heard it argued about, well, you know, when the Lord comes, every eye shall see Him. And it's argued that it can't happen on a round globe. Forget it. It doesn't matter. Do you really understand the forces of gravity anyway? Something, another law like gravity, how the water doesn't just fall off the earth on a round globe? Now, the other side of that is you believe the world is flat, and I'm not even going to go there today. But that is an interesting study among certain educated people. But as the last night on earth is going to come to us, someday, the laws being passed, the decrees made, however they're made, and they may not be made exactly the way you interpret them to be, and I hope one thing about my preaching that you get out of it is a certain flexibility that God can change anything He wants to change. But I promise you, He will not change the covenant that He makes with humanity. He didn't change it with Noah. He's not going to change it with you. And for 120 years, the Spirit of God moved upon the earth, and He begged people. Just in plain language, He was saying, I have loved you before you were created. Nothing is taking me by surprise. There's a better life for you, a better world for you and your family. But you have to decide to receive it. It's here. I will give it to you. I've created the earth and everything that's here. But you know what those dumb people did? In those days, gold and silver and the diamonds, they were all openly visible on the earth. They made these, my expletives are not appropriate. They made these idols and statues. And instead of worshiping the Creator, they began to worship those created things they had put together. And here he is pleading. People came from miles around to hear Noah, to see Noah. This man putting his resources into the ark. Talk about living a sermon. He was certainly living that sermon. But the mercy of God extended for over 100 years to those people. Maybe God was turned down a million times. I don't know. I don't have the character and the personality like God that I want to have. God wouldn't give up. He just constantly sent one thought, one message, one story after another. The world is going to end. You can have life, a better life. Come, join, be with us. And the people just, I say people, that's what I mean. Young and old and everybody in between. No, that's a crazy idea. We don't want to get on the ark. We are not going to do this. Ha, ha, ha. Until at last, the raindrops begin to fall. The thunder roared through the heavens. And then when it was too late, the people began to knock on the door. Please let us in. Please let us in. In our meetings coming up in a couple of weeks, it's a wonderful opportunity for each one of us to be part of the cause of God and to say, Lord, I believe in the message. I believe in the preparation. And I want it. I cannot tell you the scores of meetings that I've had in different churches in which people would come to me and say, Pastor, if you had been here a couple of weeks ago or you had, you know, had other times for these meetings, I wouldn't have been here to hear this. It's going to happen right here with us in this congregation. I promise you, 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, however it develops, we will never meet the same way we're meeting right now. There are other people who will sit with us who claim to be, I'm a child of God, because the doors have been opened and I'm saying, yes, I want to go in. Every day, pray for Elder Maddox. Pray for this community. I've got a truck full of merchandise that he has ordered, and I've picked it up, and I'm going to put it in my office today. But everything we're doing right now is so sacred. It's kind of like we are living near and at the end of time, and we don't have much opportunity left. And so whatever happens, God must do it, can I say, supernaturally? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it will come somehow in some fashion. And I'm not speaking about getting sick and dying. I'm speaking in direct reference to the coming of Christ. This text that we read right here, Matthew 24:37. As it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. as we have done previously, moving that thought over to the idea that today, through you, yes, you, the arms of mercy are being extended to people who've never heard the beautiful story of Christ as a Savior. God is using you as a living testimony, a living vessel, a living sermon to witness to people, I've made a covenant with God. The greatest thing I've ever done. And if you join me, you will have the same testimony.